thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
We've been gone for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah, man, 2 weeks. Take our, our quarterly 2 week breaks. That's what we do.
Yeah, we typically do that a lot, though. Seriously, we take 2 week breaks often. We feel like we don't have to have our show on every week.
No, we don't. It allows us to get the creative juices going, man.
Exactly. Will, I'm with you on that one. I haven't said it's the Urban. If you don't know, now you know. It's the Urban Sports Scene Eyes Radio Network. I am Wally.
I'm Will T.
And also, I want you to follow me on Instagram. It's Waleo32. That's Waleo32.
More shameless personal plugs.
Of course, man. I'm trying to promote. We're going to have some pictures of the Urban Sports Scene on there. Me with my Prince Akeem hat. You know, if you didn't know, I'm Nigerian. So I have a hat. And I'm a prince, too. I really am. I'm a prince back in the country.
Okay.
So people worship me. They bow to me. Like, you seen Coming to America? Mm-hmm. When I used the bathroom to take a piss, I come out. Somebody said, oh my God, oh my goodness. I get that type of effect, though. I get that. You know, it is you. I cannot believe it. I get that effect.
Oh, that's, you know what's
I mean?
Up, man.
You know what I mean? Kiss the pissy pinky ring type stuff. You know what I'm saying?
That's you're right. A wild boy,
I got my own money. It's like, nah, I gotta print it out like Monopoly money, but it's still my own money.
It's still yours,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. Oh, man. So what's up? What's going on?
Not much, man. This Saturday, big day for me. Got a race coming up. 4 miler, you know.
How's the training going?
It's going great, man. It's going great. Actually, I had to take a couple days off because I had an infection. I actually, while I was riding my bike on Monday, I got an infection. I kept going. I got an infection. I had a cut that got infected. So, and I ended up doing 40 miles. So,
you still did 40 miles with the infection?
Yeah, did 40 miles.
Will T is a soldier, man.
So like Kellen Winslow. I had a fever on a Tuesday. You know, that's usually when we tape the show. So, you know, for those of you who don't know this, taping the show on Thursday.
So, I mean, it's probably posted on Friday.
Yeah.
Which is tomorrow. So it's cool.
You're getting the show.
You'll hear the show regardless. So when we talk about the Baltimore Ravens Broncos game, it will be as if the game hasn't started, and you're probably going to be wondering, why am I listening to like Ravens commentary like it's pregame? But like Will said, it's Thursday, right? It's Thursday. And what time is it now? Eastern time. It's about 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it doesn't matter. You'll like it. You'll love it.
You'll deal with it.
And you'll deal with it, and you'll embrace it. That's what we do. Oh, my weekend was cool. Let me get to my weekend. My brother got married. He's also he's usually a guest on the show at times. King Al is what he usually goes by. Beautiful wedding. If you haven't been to a Nigerian Nigerian wedding, the I do portion of the wedding, that's what I like to call it. The I do portion of the wedding was an American style wedding. But the reception itself, if you ever been to a Nigerian party, you know how we get down. And I put it like this, I ain't leave at 3 a.m. in the morning. So, I mean, 3 a.m. obviously in the morning, but 3 a.m. Tired. I think I gained some weight over the weekend, eating a lot of rice. I think I put China out of business about how much rice I ate. Just saying. Just being real. I took a lot. I did a lot, man. And gained some weight. I think I gained like 5 pounds. And so I went from being a light heavyweight probably to a heavyweight. I ain't mad at it, though. The food was great. I will say this, though. I was the best man in the wedding. Groomsmen. We had a bunch of groomsmen. And for us not to have any meat pies, ridiculous. I'm kind of still annoyed by that. I ain't getting no meat pie. Have you ever had a meat pie from Nigeria? A Nigerian meat pie?
No, I've never had.
Man, put Jamaican pie. Stuff is to shame. The little Jamaican patties are weak.
So really?
Nigerian meat pie. Meat pie? African style meat pie? Man. Is lovely. It's
what
delicious.
Is it?
Got potatoes, little ground beef action going on. It's something mean, and it's like in the patty thing. But the bread, the breading, is so awesome. It's perfect, Will. It's perfect. It's a little what I call a little patty of heaven.
Little patty of heaven.
Yes.
That's what's up, man. It sounds just as good as the Spinacopia I was telling you about.
Spinacopia. I know. That's what I'm talking about Spinacopia. I just like saying that. It just sounds cool. It just sounds rad. Spinacopia.
Well, anyway, let's let's get this thing officially started. Make sure to check us out on our website, www.eyesradio.com.
That's their website.
Check out their website, www.eyesradio.com. Check out Backfield Radio. Clutch Sports Radio at www.darwin-sports.com.
And Darwin's not on the Ice Radio Network, but cool folks of the family.
Voice of the Fan at www.blogtalkradio.com/thevoiceofthefan. Our show is syndicated on the internet radio station Real People Real Talk Radio. The site is hosted by our good friends from Applegee's. Make sure to check out the site at www.realpeopletalk.com.
Will T did a great job. Will, I usually do that part, and I'm proud of Will. You did a great job, Will. I give you a round of applause, but I'm about to get into our tradition, and I'm going to let you say it, though, because I ain't going to take it from you.
Since I did your job, see, we flipping this.
All right. Time to get ready for our tradition.
The pregame.
Exactly. Actually, I think I messed that up. Anyway,
the Nats are 7 games out of the wild card. If they get into the postseason and lose, say, my eyes are messing with me.
It's okay, man. Great. I got you. All right, I'll phrase the question because I'm the one type it out to make it easy for you. All right, Nats are about 7 games out of the wild card. So say they don't make the postseason. Say they don't make the postseason. Save their season. I'll put it this way. Say they save their season. They make the postseason, but say they lose in the first round. Is their season a disappointment, regardless, or is it deemed successful due to the fact where they came from and overcame it?
I think because of what they overcame, 7 games out in the last month of the season to make the playoffs, I think that makes it somewhat of a success, something to build on for next year. But looking at the grand scheme, the bigger picture, this was a team that a lot of people thought would win 100 games, would contend for a World Series. So, big picture, no.
Okay. I don't know. I thought about this. It's a tough thing. Obviously, the Nats had World Series aspirations. So, if they don't make it, regardless of the fact you have those aspirations, if you don't make it to the World Series, it's a failure. It doesn't really matter. It's a good story for the month. I think the city will feel good. I think the fan base will probably feel a little bit better about the season. But in a nutshell, it'd be a disappointment. I agree. But it's a disappointment. And the big question would be, will David Johnson be back? I guess probably not.
Probably not.
If they don't make the postseason, due to the season, I don't think they're going to win the World Series, and I don't think they're going to make the postseason. So David Johnson probably won't return as the skipper for the Washington Nationals.
He'll still have a position within the front office, but I don't think we're pretty sure that he won't be back as the skipper for the team.
Yeah, totally. Orioles are 4 games behind the Rays for the final wild card spot. They're playing the White Sox tonight. Orioles have disappointed me over a certain span. They lost the series with the Yankees, the Red Sox, and recently to the Cleveland Indians. These are teams that are now in front of them, honestly, in the race for the postseason. I mean, the Red Sox are leading the AL East, and the Yankees have now leapfrogged the Orioles in the wild card race, and so have the Cleveland Indians. I just haven't seen that passion and fire I saw last season in September. So it continues to annoy me, especially again. These are the series they had lined up for them. Were series that can truly impact their positioning in the for the wild card, and they lost every season. I'm sorry, every series in this stretch, other than beating the Oakland A's in the series 2-3. Every series, the Rays, the Indians, and the Yankees, they lost all of those series, and especially to gain some momentum on the Red Sox. They didn't even do that as well, and they lost that series. So the Orioles, to me, have really had a real disappointing time.
It seems like both of the local teams have been disappointing. Yeah. But luckily, people will be able to put that behind them because tonight, football starts.
Football does start. That's true. Denver Broncos and the Ravens, I don't really care about either or, to be honest with you. I'm not a Ravens. I don't care for the Ravens. Oh, I shouldn't say that because I'm covering the Ravens, right? I shouldn't say that. I care about the Ravens. I do. I love the Ravens.
Nah, you don't have to. I mean,
I love the Ravens.
It's okay for you. Everyone knows you have a bias towards the Washington Redskins.
I do, but I love the Baltimore Orioles, though. So be more stand up. I love the Orioles, but the Ravens, that's a whole different situation. Anyway, let's go to my man, Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson, my man. But Allen Iverson and Trace McGrady Grady officially retired a couple weeks ago. Thoughts of AI and or T-Mac?
Two of them are the most prolific volume scorers to ever play in the game. We know Allen Iverson, he's probably the greatest player to ever play in the NBA under 6 feet. Tremendous heart. very passionate. Didn't always bring it from a practice standpoint or being the best teammate, but when he stepped on that floor and got him and played in between those lines, no one could ever question his heart or his commitment to his team.
Yeah.
And sorry to cut you off. T-Mac probably due to those injuries, the injuries will slant some people's opinion of him or the potential of what he could have been. But during a 7-year stretch, he's probably one of the best scorers in the NBA.
Yeah, people forget how dominant T-Mac was as a scorer. And then we all think about how great Kobe Bryant is. But people forget that back then when T-Mac was healthy, there wasn't that many people better than T-Mac. I mean, he really carried that team. You know, but Kobe was getting a lot of credit in with the Lakers. But, you know, again, I always say that was the Shaq team. Shaq was the most dominant player. But T-Mac really didn't have anybody. He was supposed to have Grant Hill, and Grant Hill kept getting hurt, so he never really had Grant Hill. Now, to Allen Iverson, you know, I've been on social media talking to a lot of folks, and I even had the question of, I mean, it's amazing to me. Some folks say Allen Iverson is not a Hall of Famer. And
That's ridiculous.
And I think about now, and people have to understand, basketball Hall of Fame is the easiest Hall of Fame to make. Players make it off college alone. We're talking about a guy who was influential in college ball and influential in the NBA game. People changed their whole style because of Allen Iverson. People like Allen Iverson were more accepted in the NBA. And so to me, Allen Iverson changed the game in a whole different spectrum. You saw cats with rocking multiple tattoos, you know, wearing long cornrows, things of that sort. Like Allen Iverson started that whole trend.
Yeah, I think what people may not put into context are there are two kind of stages within, you know, the 90s and the 2000s that kind of changed basketball from a cultural standpoint. One was Michigan, Fab Five, with the black socks and the baggy shorts and the ball heads. And the second guy, and the second, like, entity or happening was Allen Iverson, with the way he played basketball, the quick crossovers, the sleeve on the arm, the cornrows, the tattoos. He kind of made those things acceptable and helped it cross over to mainstream society.
And I phrased this question on Facebook. Before I get to Facebook's responses, I'm going to ask you, we're going to keep it Allen Iverson since he has local ties here. Since he's officially retired, should he try to work, because you know he's broke, should he try to work for NBA TV or try to work with the Georgetown Hoyas, maybe helping them recruit players, just like Rod Strickland doing Memphis, just doing staff?
I probably say NBA TV for this purpose only, because there's been a lot of publicity of some of the demons that Allen Iverson has been struggling with in his personal life. You don't necessarily, if you're Georgetown, want that representing you out there on the recruiting trail. Even though, you know, he is an icon, but, you know, when it comes to parents sending their baby off to college, they want to entrust them with people that have a certain moral sense of morality.
Rod, okay. All right, just play devil's advocate. Rod Strickland played for the Washington Wizards, right?
Played for the Washington Wizards.
His past isn't the best thing in the world.
Past isn't the best, but also his past hasn't been as full blown and
publicized
in the media as Allen Iverson's.
All right, I posed the same question on Facebook. A man, Tony Snow, said he should have went with his old coach at McKee and Coach College. Nobody going to give him a chance to see if he's on a black. Well, I guess he's saying he's blacklisted. Like AI is blacklisted, so no one's
come on.
Him a
people,
chance.
Spell check. Spell check.
My boy,
people,
though. Spell hey, check. Hey, my man South, my boy. But yeah, that was. I don't know what that was about. Anyway, my man John Richardson says, yeah, why not? They hire H-E-R. Hire is spelled H-I-R-E.
People, spell check.
They hired
listen, this whole Twitter and, you know, abbreviating emails and text is ruining people's ability to punctuate correctly.
Right, hold on, but we appreciate that. I
appreciate it, but that's just kind of one of my pet peeves.
I hear you, man. Lesser talents than, all right, why not? They hire lesser talents than him at NBA TV. I know he was dealing with a lot in his personal life, too. AI equals most heart all-time NBA. Yeah, I agree, man. AI should definitely get another chance. I think NBA TV is the best place for him. My man Jeffrey Three Kids Banks says he needs to work with the youth man, build up his coaching record, and he can also do TV. Totally agree with man. Keith Stover, what's up, Keith? So will he wear a suit on NBA TV or come with a fitted two chains and baggy shirt?
Probably a fitted. He'll probably try to get a fitted two chains.
LOL. What's up, Keith? Yeah, that's hilarious. I'm not going to lie. He can do what he did in the NBA. He revolutionized basketball with wardrobe and fashion. Well, a different type of fashion.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
But anyway, it's time to move on the pregame. Real quick before I get into another local product, Michael Beasley got released by the Phoenix Suns because he got caught weed a couple, was it a month ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it's over for him because he's young and he has talent. Mm-hmm. But it's a shame that he's blowing these opportunities, all these opportunities that he's had in the NBA. There are guys with less talent that have stuck around the NBA longer because they know how to essentially get their shit together, which he hasn't been able to.
What annoys me about Michael Vick, I mean, so Michael Vick, excuse me, Michael Vick, Michael Beasley, is that, for instance, you see a guy like Blake Griffin, right? Michael Beasley is more of a skilled scorer. I think more talented scorer than a Blake Griffin. But Blake Griffin's in the league because he works hard, and he wants to become one of the best power forwards. Mike Beasley has that skill set, but he's taking it for granted, and he doesn't want to be the best. He says it, and he acts, and you'll see all types of writing saying, I want to be the old Mike Beasley, the one you saw at Kansas State, or the one you saw in the area. Well, it's a thing about saying it, but also it's time to do it, and I feel like Michael Beasley needs to get to that point where he needs a wake-up call. Like, you're too talented, brother, to be just letting the waste away. There are so many cats that you see in the neighborhood that couldn't make it to that level due to the fact they could get grades. Well, you had the opportunity to do it, and you're letting it whisk away. I don't care if you're doing is weed your problem, PCP. Get out your system, brother. Get it together.
I agree.
All right, let's go. Jason Kidd, or down the pregame some more. Jason Kidd has bought out Jay-Z's small little share.
Listen, of the
Brooklyn Nets.
Listen, I hear a lot of people crapping on Jay-Z because of the valuation of his ownership in the Brooklyn Nets was $500,000. And he boastfully proclaimed that he owned the Nets. Technically, he did own a piece of the Nets.
It's like, doesn't Nelly own the Bobcats?
He owns a piece of the Bobcats. Yes, he does. So he still does, from my understanding. Yeah, I kind of got off track. Flash me with the picture. But yeah.
No, that was not going down. It has a fan in the background. It's not cool.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's a great move for Jason Kidd, you know, because he's transitioning to being a coach. He'll also have part ownership within the Brooklyn Nets. And that'll also increase kind of his loyalty and dedication and help possibly increase his performance for the Nets because he owns part of the Nets. So I think that's great.
All right. Down to pregame. Let's talk about a local fighter. Will, I'm going to let you talk about him. You mentioned his boxing fights coming down on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday on Showtime, Seth Mitchell fights Chris Areola out in California. We were invited to his open workout, media day workout, but we weren't able to attend. Sorry about that.
No problem. It happens.
Yes, life. Stuff happens. Scheduling.
Yeah. Can't be life.
Yeah, I went to the prior one, and you know,
But you had some good. You interviewed some nice young men.
Yeah, I did.
Nice young boxers who have an opportunity. Hopefully, they'll be get an opportunity to become big time. Hopefully.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm excited to see this fight for the simple reason that this is truly the epitome of a crossroads fight for both of these fighters. To this point, Seth Mitchell hasn't really been tested by championship caliber fighters. Chris Arreola, what did hold a championship? If I'm not mistaken, I do think he did hold
a belt. Got crushed by
the Klitschko brother, yeah. And you know, he's kind of, there have been a lot of people been down on Chris Arreola because in his prior fights, his weight and his condition, he's come in, he's looked out of shape, and his condition has been below par. And you know, it's interesting to see who bring it up a notch and try to take themselves to the next level, and how the person who's on the losing end of the fight will progress with their career. There's been a lot of hatred spewed from Chris Arreola. He's essentially said he hates Seth Mitchell. For what reason, I don't know. I think I know. It's because essentially Seth Mitchell was kind of in a position where Chris Arreola was a couple years ago, mm-hmm. where Seth Mitchell was looked at as the next possibly great American heavyweight champion.
Too bad.
Wow. and Chris Arreola, you know, essentially blew that opportunity from his lack of condition and lack of, some people say, taking the sport seriously and lack of dedication.
Did I just carry Seth Mitchell? Was that
yeah, you
harsh?
Did. That was kind of harsh.
I didn't even mean to be that mean. That came off wrong. Not really. Go ahead and continue.
But yeah, me personally, this is a hard fight to pick, but I'm going to take Seth Mitchell. My heart tells me to take Seth Mitchell because I've always proclaimed from day one that he'll be the guy that'll bring a heavyweight championship back to the States.
Yeah, Will is a fan of Seth Mitchell. I think Seth Mitchell is a hell of a guy. Nice guy. I've heard some good things about him. But do I think he'll be heavyweight champion of the world? I'm give you my real opinion. I'm not going to lie about anything just because I hope to interview the dude one day. I don't think he's going to be heavyweight champion of the world at all. But you never know. When the Klitschko's go down, maybe that's when he has his chance. I don't think he can beat the Klitschko.
I think,
and I'm not a big fan of the Klitschko's either. I think in a different style, a different era, the Klitschko's would be
weak. Vladimir? No, I don't think he could beat Vladimir. But Vitaly, because Vitaly has... his body is kind of breaking down. Uh-huh. I think on the right day at the right time, Seth Mitchell can take him out.
Yeah, Vladimir. Yeah, no, I don't think anybody's being Vladimir. That jab is too mean. But anyway, let's go down the pregame real quick. I told the U.S. Open tennis, Rafael Nadal advanced to the semis last night. I think he was leaving in straight sets. Nadal's back. Today, Andy Murray lost in straight sets. So he won't be... He won't be having a chance to two-peat. What was it? Back-to-back. Did I say two-peat?
Repeat.
Nah, back-to-back. That sounds better. Sounds
okay,
cool.
Okay, yeah, hey.
Back-to-back.
Whatever works for you, bro.
Can't defend his title, so he won't be able to go back-to-back. For Andy Murray, I think Andy Murray, he's won Wimbledon. He's cool. There's no pressure on him anymore. He doesn't care. There's nothing to sweat out anymore. He won Wimbledon, so he doesn't have to worry about the U.S. Open. Obviously, you know, you want your champions to show, you know, you want him to try to dominate the men's game, because you saw him winning Wimbledon, and now you're thinking to himself, he's actually now trying to put himself on a level of the greats eventually down the road. But, you know, Djokovic, I think this is lined up perfectly for Djokovic. Federer lost, Murray lost, so now you have a chance to have a Nadal-Djokovic final, and I just can't see Nadal beating Djokovic on a hard surface like the U.S. Open. So I think it's Djokovic's title to get. That's where I'm at right now. So
and I'm going to say that's excellent tennis analysis by you because, frankly, I haven't paid attention to the U.S. Open except for when Serena Williams plays.
Yeah, Serena looks like she's going to dominate. Lee Na looks good, too. I just think no one can beat – I don't think anybody can beat Serena on a hard surface. I just think she's dominant. The way she serves, the way she strikes the ball, her ground shots, I don't think there's anybody who can see her in that surface. That surface is perfect for Serena Williams. There's nobody.
Hard body, hard surface.
Hard body, hard surface.
Yes, sir.
She beat Sloane Stephens, her so-called rival.
Yeah, I don't know why they're trying to build that up as a rivalry.
Because, it's not, you know, Sloane Stephens says, you know, she said that Venus doesn't look out for the younger tennis players, especially Sloane Stephens being an African American. She didn't think she tried to look out for her. So that built the rivalry. Well, that built some animosity between the two.
Nobody's supposed to look out for you. No one has to do anything for you in this world. Yeah. Get it on your own.
I agree with that one. No one really has to look out for you, especially if somebody's trying to take your spot. I agree with that. That I do agree with. Now, superstar athletes like Michael Jordan should be looking out for like the regular people in the world who buy Jordans and needs to like kind of make the shoes cheaper. But that's a whole different topic, though.
That's a whole topic for another different show at another different time that we can get into.
All right, well, you keep on
down. But down to pregame, Geno Smith and EJ Manuel are starting week one. Why this is prominent is because they're two rookies. Who have the better game?
Well, I'm a Geno Smith fan, so I'm always going to go with Geno Smith. I think he's an underrated passer. For some strange reason, I think people forget. Like, he's been dominant. He's been a very good passer since he's been in West Virginia. I mean, that's never been talked. That's never been. Folks have never been critical of Geno Smith as a passer in college, and then even now in the program, people are trying to find an excuse to say, like, he can't run an NFL offense. He's accurate. He's always been accurate. That's something he's always been. He's an accurate passer, throws a great deep ball. If the Jets do it right, lean heavily on the run game, Geno Smith should be very successful. EJ Manuel in college, and I'm just going on college because I watch EJ Manuel, I watch Geno Smith. To me, in college, running semi-similar offenses at times, EJ Manuel has things he needs to work on. Obviously, in the preseason, he looked good, but I still think he has things to work on. I look at the body of work. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. And when I look at these two quarterbacks, it's not like, you know, when you're in college, you're like, a guy has a weak arm. He's just taking advantage of a system. Both dudes have good arms. One has always been more accurate than the other. And I'm just going to go with Geno Smith.
Well, I'm going to counter that argument. I'm going to go with EJ Manuel for the simple reason that EJ Manuel has more pieces around him now. Two very good running backs, C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson, Stevie Johnson. And he has a coach. And Doug Marrone, who knows offensive football, and Paul Hackett, the offensive coordinator, comes from a family that knows how to coach up the quarterback, knows offensive football. So I think he's in a far better position because he has more talent on both sides of the ball around him.
That's cool. You can go wherever you want to. I know I'm correct.
Okay.
All right.
In your mind.
I'm always right. I'm correct in my mind. It's my mind.
Yeah. That's why you're allowed to have your opinion.
Exactly.
All right, but when we come back,
I just want to talk about the Eagles thing real quick. The fight.
No, we're going to talk about that.
Okay. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm messing up. Sorry. Get your transition. Sorry.
Hey, man. My transition is blown. We're going to commercial break. When we come back, we'll be discussing Washington, D.C.'s own football team, the Washington Redskins.
It's the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi. This is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm gonna smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Hi, this is Joe Theismann, former Washington Redskins quarterback, former Super Bowl champion quarterback for the Washington Redskins, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene's website at www.waleo.podbean.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email Wally at urbansports@eyesradio.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan.
That's today. That hey, is. You don't give me today, man. It's football season, man.
Have you been on the show in a while?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
That's a bad thing, right?
No, I mean,
they're still, good people, man.
You still plugging the show.
I know. That's a good thing. I know. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I feel better about myself.
Hey, that's what I'm here for, man.
Exactly.
I'm all about uplifting of people.
Yeah. Will T. That's what I'm talking about. Will T is a fine human being, people. A fine human being. Nice guy.
All right. As we alluded to before the break, we're talking football.
Ooh,
Washington
ball.
Redskins. DC's own Washington Redskins. It's like Christmas in September. Because football season started.
That's true.
So, you know, a lot of people, specifically the guy to my right, are very excited about this year's upcoming team. They made their cuts to the 53-man roster. As I stated, I thought Pat White would make the team.
Didn't think so.
What do you think?
I'm just ecstatic that he made the team. I'm a Pat White fan. I just can't even remember we had this discussion a couple shows ago. I wanted Pat White to make this team. He made the team. I think it was more strategic, though, than anything, because you didn't want the Cowboys or the Giants or the Eagles to pick him up and so he can run in on their practice squad or whatever and give him plays that we've done in training camp or in the preseason. So I think it was more strategic than anything. But I do hope that, you know, while practice is going on, he still wrecks his job. I told you, a fat, pudgy quarterback does not deserve to be in the NFL like Rex Grossman. And I'm gonna keep saying it. You call it personal shots if you want to.
They are personal shots.
A fat, chubby kid playing quarterback. He's not even a kid, for real. He's like my age. And, like, I'm taller.
You're correct.
I even think my arm is better.
You're a wild dude.
I think so, actually.
But anyway,
better, though.
Seriously. Yeah. What other roster moves caught you by attention? Caught you by surprise.
By surprise? Well, I've heard a lot of reports that Evan Royster wasn't going to make the team. I'm happy he made the team. I guess that's a surprise that he's actually made the team, and they cut Keelan Williams. Surprised that Deshaun Gomes got cut. Thought he would stay on, you know, especially because of Brandon Merriweather though he is back, but you don't know. He tore his knee out, so it can happen again. So I'm surprised they cut Deshaun Gomes, and especially what happened to Phillip Thomas being hurt for most. He's going to be out for the season. So I was kind of surprised Deshaun Gomes got cut.
Oh, okay. Well, I think people have to take into consideration two things. That this isn't, even though this is their opening week 53-man roster, this isn't really how their roster is going to look, because you have to take into account there are two guys that are serving a suspension and Jarvis Jenkins and Rob Jackson, if I'm not mistaken.
Rob Jackson, yeah.
Yeah,
Rob
both Jackson. Of those guys are both serving 4-game suspensions. So some of the guys, you know, there'll be two roster spots that'll be available once they come off their suspension.
Yeah, yes, true. But I still would like Pat White to stay on this team. I don't expect him to stay on the team throughout the whole season. I don't, honestly, but at the same time, I would love for him to make the team, stay on the team, and just cut Rex Grossman. I'm going to keep repeating that. I know I'm redundant. Cut Rex. He ain't sexy. He could be Rex all he want, but he ain't sexy.
But Rex provides – I think Rex gives you the best opportunity. You know, like I said, I think that Pat White, you know, I would want him to make the team. You know, I think his athleticism allows the Redskins to keep a certain level of continuity if Robert Griffin III were to become injured. Mm-hmm. You can still run the same offense with Pat White, or you can, you know, if Cousins is the quarterback,
exactly,
you can put a package in for Pat White.
Exactly, I totally agree.
And, you know, still exploit different matchup disadvantages.
No, I'm with you on that. But that's we did enough talking about the roster, the preseason, you know, the roster cuts and things like that. So let's go to the actual season opener. The Eagles are coming to town. RG3 has been officially cleared. What do you
think? He has.
He's been cleared.
Really?
He has. I mean, it's been all over the news. I mean, ESPN, everything.
I didn't know that.
They doing too much. I mean, this whole coverage of his injury has been way too much for my liking. But anyway, do you think he'll be rusty in this game due to the fact he didn't play any preseason? And this is RG3 commercial right now.
I do. I do think there'll be a little bit of rust. You know, he hasn't taken any live snaps. It's different, you know, playing 11-on-11, you know, when guys are told not to rush, not to put a hand on you, and, you know, the clock in your head is different. So it'll be interesting to see how he holds up. You know, probably the first two or three plays, you know, first deep ball he throws, he might be off. But other than that, I think after a while he'll revert back to old form.
Yeah, I think if anything, the first quarter, that's when he's gonna be rusty. I'm not trying to be funny. From what I saw against the Eagles, I mean, when I saw the Eagles defense in preseason, there are big plays to be made against that defense in preseason. So if I think the Eagles will allow him to look better than what he's gonna, if he was playing more of a dominant defense, it'd be scary. I think the rust would be real, more impactful. I think due to the fact that the Eagles, from what I saw in preseason, and I can't go off preseason alone, because I actually think, I'm going to give Eagles credit, I think their offense is going to be potent from what I saw in the preseason. And Chip Kelly didn't even show what he needed to show. But in terms of the defense, I think RG3 may be able to do some things, especially after the first quarter. If he's going to be rusty, it's going to be the first quarter. But after the first quarter, I think he'll be himself, barring any injury or setback.
I totally agree with you. The Eagles' run defense, very least, looked terrible.
Yeah, the run defense, yeah.
Everybody remembers, you know, that first game against New England, when New England, that first series,
Just gashed them,
ran up and down the field on them. But as the preseason progressed, they did, from what I saw, a couple minutes of watching the games, they did seem to improve. So, you know, it'll be interesting Monday night to see, you know, what Chip Kelly's offense will look like, for one.
Yeah, and that's
how RG3, Robert Griffin III, will look. And how the Washington Redskins secondary is going to hold up against all the speed and the play calling of Chip Kelly.
And that's the threat. That's the threat they pose. They pose that, like, the speed on the offense side of the ball. Actually, I think with Macklin being hurt is obviously beneficial for the Washington Redskins. That's just an added position with the speed. Riley Cooper isn't the speedster that Macklin is, so that they don't have to worry about him going vertical like they would have to worry about Macklin. DeSean Jackson's going to still be out there, but they won't worry more of Riley Cooper. He'll be more the possession wide receiver, so that covered. I mean, in that way, they'll be more comfortable, and I think the secondary will be more protected. I want to see also how Bakari Rambo plays in the secondary and see if he takes bad angles against. Maybe he's cleaned that up a little bit. You know, last preseason game it got better. I want to see how him and Merriweather work together back then at the safety positions. So I want to see how that works out, and I want to see if Amerson's gonna get more playing time than Josh Wilson. He should, but Josh Wilson will probably start because he's a vet. But I would like to see Amerson out there and see what he can do.
Amerson's a player, man. I think he's, you know, potentially one of the steals of the draft. You know, like I said, I think it was last episode, it's been a long time since Washington has had a DB that has the mentality of, that's my ball, I'm just trying to defend the ball. So Amerson, it'll be interesting to see how he matches up against, you know, maybe a DeSean Jackson. Or, you know,
need help with DeSean Jackson. With
you're going to have to roll the safety over the top.
Still need help.
And then it'll also be interesting to see the pace of the game. A lot of people have talked about how Chip Kelly will try to run 80 plays per game. You know, Michael Vick's a guy who likes to get outside of the pocket on certain plays. You know, will he call a run, specific run plays? Will Michael Vick scramble? How would that affect his conditioning, you know, his ability to call plays at the line and get him into the right set? So A lot of questions going into Monday night.
All right, so for the Redskins, what are the keys to victory?
Keys to victory.
For the Redskins.
For the Redskins. Pass rush. They have to show an improved pass rush, which they did during the preseason.
With Rakpo being back, too, as well, is going to help out.
Yeah. Robert Griffin shaking off that rust pretty early, getting back to his form that he was last year pre-injury. when he, you know, set the league on fire and was the highest rated passer. And third, the run game. You know, Alfred Morris, you know, Alfred Morris needs to get chunks. Well, he doesn't have to get chunks a yard, but he has to get like 4 yards.
He's a gasher.
3 yards, 4. He doesn't have to get the big carry.
Of course not.
The long carries, but 4 yards here, 3 yards there, wear down that Eagles 3-4 defense, because it's a, you know, it's a new defense for the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm with you, Will, with the running game. I think that's a big thing, gashing with the running game. Not just Alfred Morris, but when they play Halu, when Halu gets in the game, because that's the guy who's got more of a home run hit, home run game than Alfred Morris. But still, you can work both of them in, continue running, make it easier for RG3 to get into the swing of things. Maybe give him a couple of short passes, a couple wide receiver screens, something. Some passes that he can hit kind of easy, maybe some, you know, the zone reads and hit Fred Davis up the middle, who I have been very surprised at how healthy he's looked during the preseason. During preseason and training camp, Fred Davis, how healthy he's looked. And I've always stated that once one tears their Achilles, is like their career is damn near over. And I'm surprised at how well he's looked in the preseason. So that's a main thing. Like Will, like you said, I'm just going to piggyback on it. Pass rush is essential. We saw how Michael Vick got hit last season. Now it's going to be different with Jason Peters being back. Jason Peters is a monster at the left tackle position. But if we can put pressure on the Eagles with Rakpo and Kerrigan, yeah, we can make it hard for the Eagles. And I always state this about Chip Kelly's offense. If your defense is dominant, you shouldn't have a problem with Chip Kelly's offense. If you really look at it in the college game, let's go in the college game, when he played against LSU in the national championship, you saw that he struggles against Auburn. When Auburn in the national championship, his offense does struggle against powerhouse defensive SEC teams in college. So there is something to deal with Chip Kelly's offense. You can stop his offense if you have the right personnel.
No, I totally agree with you. Being able to, you know, with the speed and the different formations and sets that they'll use, how will
Hazlitt
will how will he adjust? How will he counter? You know, will he have specific defensive packages, personnel packages, you know, to attack the Eagles? And then this new offense that they'll be running, that no one knows what it'll look like. So
I will say the Eagles offense, though, what they have fits his system perfectly. The speed everywhere.
Yeah,
and I think it would be more dynamic with Macklin on in the field. Really mean that.
Yeah, they have speed on the outside, and they also have a big offensive line.
Yeah, you know? and speed out in the backfield with LeSean McCoy. So yeah, they have it everywhere. I agree. So I just posed this question. I think it's a fairly hard, difficult question. And it's not who's better. Let that be clear. But in their prime, we have two African-American quarterbacks, two exciting quarterbacks. Two, I think, that when they entered the league and started, set the league on fire. They have that in common. But Michael Vick in his prime, RG3 in their prime, who's more exciting? I'm not saying better, because a lot of times, people want to say, easy to say RG3, because he's coming into the NFL, he's a better passer, and he's a way better passer than Michael Vick coming into the NFL, and he can run too as well. So, but who is more exciting?
I'm going with Michael Vick.
Yeah,
the Michael Vick experience when he came into the league, and I guess it's probably some of it has to do with he was probably the first. I'm not going to say he's the first of his kind, because there's Randall Cunningham, but he did it.
He's the first of his kind in terms of the way he did it. I think just the amount of speed he had. I put it that way.
The elusiveness also.
Yeah.
And just his ability to throw a perfect deep ball with a flick of a wrist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most guys have to, you know, get into their drop, then load up and throw it. But Michael Vick, it was just the flick of the wrist, and it was just so pretty. So that's why I say that Michael Vick was probably far more exciting to watch.
I posed a question on Twitter as well. My man, @CBrownCB, said Griff, because Vic's primary excitement was running, Griff is both. Like I was saying, like I understand, like RG3 is exciting, don't get me wrong. Obviously, you see the commercials, you see what he did against Minnesota. But I'm going to compare two Minnesota games. When RG3 made that long run against Minnesota. It was speed. He hit the sideline. But when Michael Vick made that run in Minnesota in the dome, oh, that was something special because you could see the speed. Like, something about Michael Vick's speed was just exciting. The way he can, like...
Yeah, RG3 dominate. Has sprinter speed.
Yeah, it's just something different.
Michael Vick, I can't explain it. It's just that his speed is kind of at his prime was blinding.
Yeah, he just looked faster. Be honest with you, you know RG3. You know he's got, he still he has world class speed. But when talking about Michael Vick, when you saw him run, he just looked faster than everybody. He just looked faster.
Yeah, he did. It was amazing. It was a sight to see.
Yeah, it was. But you wanted to talk about something real quick.
Yeah. Well, it's been reported today that the Eagles during their practice that Kerry Williams, the corner, newly acquired cornerback from the Baltimore Ravens, and Riley Cooper, African-American's favorite wide receiver for the Eagles, got into a little dust-up, a little fight. A lot's being made of it. You know, this, like I said, it's just another issue that, you know, with keeping him on the team. Now, we don't know if it had anything to do with the comments that he made during the Kenny Chesney concert. But it's just another thing that they have to deal with during the week of the game. And I told you, you know, with this, it's sure the issue is going to rear itself again coming to Washington, D.C. So it's just another something else that the Eagles didn't have to deal with if they had.
They did right.
Yeah.
They decided to cut him. And will T be Eagle fan?
Yeah.
You're right. To me, it was a heated argument. Did they throw punches?
Yeah.
So they did throw punches.
Well, Kerry Williams threw punches.
Yeah.
Riley Cooper just seemed like he didn't want any parts of it.
Okay. I hear.
Maybe he's just preparing him what he's going to see for 16 weeks during the season.
He's going to see it. You know, he's going to see it. He's going to get cheap. I expect him to get cheap shotted. I expect it. I heard like the whole team had to break it up. Michael Vick was one of the lead dudes who broke it up. It's a dangerous situation. Obviously, it's a hostile situation. But the Eagles are willing to deal with it. I'm interested to see how they do it. Yeah. I really am. But anyway, we get back from the break. We'll be talking about the Ravens, who are playing tonight against the Denver Broncos.
Get it right. The defending Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens.
Like Will said, the Ravens, who are playing tonight against the Denver Broncos. I'm interested to see how Joe Flacco looks. But anyway, we'll see what they do. I expect the defense I actually expect the Ravens defense to play well. Anyways, the Urban Sports on the Eyes Real Network.
Deuces. Oh.
You geeking.
I'm geeking, man.
For ages. Doses.
Doses. You dig?
There we go.
I'm off, man. I'm off.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't. Because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
You can listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Apple G's Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian. What's up, dog? You liking the picture, huh?
I know you like the picture. That's a terrible picture of me.
Who cares? It's just a picture. Will's complaining about the picture on Instagram.
I'm not complaining.
Yes, you are. It's a picture. Dude, look at me. I don't even like my picture that much, but I haven't posted it. Like, I care. It's a picture.
Man, I don't worry about it.
Exactly. I know you don't, man, because you cool, man. You got the juice. You got the juice. Anyway.
Let's talk about
the juice. You messed up my transition.
All right. Man, I'm sorry.
The juice. Ravens won the Super Bowl, so they have the juice. Now.
That was a killer transition.
See that? Yeah, actually sucked. But it was about to work, so I got messed up by you.
I apologize.
Anyway, all jokes aside, Ravens repeat. Not one repeat, it's a rematch actually of the AFC divisional game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this divisional game. So, you know, obviously the Denver Broncos are get back. But before you think, real quick, do you think the Ravens What chance do you think the Ravens have to actually win this game? It's a mile high. Let's be real.
I actually think the Ravens will win this game for this reason. Here's why. People are making a lot to do about the Ravens missing, you know, two future Hall of Famers, Ed Reed and Ray Lewis. But in actuality, if you look at the additions that they made to this defense is actually, from a personnel standpoint, better than it was last year. And here's why. They added Daryl Smith, a guy who can come in and start at linebacker. You added Elvis Dumervil, another pass rusher. You added Michael Huff. You had it Chris Canty. You drafted Arthur Brown, even though he doesn't have the knowledge and doesn't, you know, inspire everyone that a Ray Lewis does. He's able to cover in passing situations far better than Ray Lewis did. And you add Elam, a guy who is a little bit far more mobile than Ed Reed was. So I'll say, from a personnel standpoint, I actually think this team is better. And we also have to remember that this team didn't win the championship based on their defense. They won it by their offense. And their offense, even though they lost a couple of, they lost a key part, excuse me, in Anquan Boldin, what people don't remember, what people are failing to remember is Joe Flacco progressed to a certain level as a quarterback last year. So it'll be interesting to see if he'll come out as a Joe Flacco who we saw during the regular season, or that Joe Flacco who earned himself $120 million during the playoffs.
So we believe in Joe Flacco now?
I do.
So in Joe you trust?
I don't put my trust in no man, but
I mean, it's a quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Not like, you know what I mean. Don't try to be all difficult now.
I'm not being difficult.
I don't trust no man. Of course, you trust only person you can trust is God.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I understand that. Nah, I don't believe in Joe Flacco. I don't mean that just because I'm not anti Ravens. Believe me, Raven fans make me dislike Ravens. I was a fan of Avery. I was a fan of Ray Lewis. So I do like Raven players. I like Pharrell. I think you were mentioning Elam. I like the addition of Huff, Michael Huff, to me is what really makes it go. I think he's the one who has more range to cover the places that Ed Reed couldn't do anymore. I think Ed Reed lost a step. I think Ed Reed's, don't get it twisted though. Ed Reed instinctively is better than Michael Huff now, and Ed Reed's still a better safety than Michael Huff. But I do think that Michael Huff has more range than Ed Reed right now at this moment with his age. He's younger.
Yeah, at the safety position, a lot more range with
Elam and
Huff opposed to Bernard Pollard and Ed Reed.
Yeah, I'm not sure Huff is. I mean, Elam is going to start. I believe he was in a competition with I forgot his name, the other safety. But Elam is going to get a lot of playing time. I think eventually he'll get a starting job. If he's not starting now, he will get the starting job anyway. Huff, I like the position. I like the addition of Huff, and also Webb. Webb is back. Webb to me has been one of the best cornerbacks in football for a couple of years. So having Webb back, and I thought they had kept him, but he retired early. Rolando McClain, and when McClain didn't retire early, I really had faith in that defense even more. I've always stated this though. The players that were getting out when when Ray Lewis was there, I'm not sure they will be getting out now. I'll say that much, because you see what happened with the Ed Hartwells and of the world and Jamie Sharpers. I like Jamie Sharp, but Jamie Sharpers of the world, when they left Ray Lewis, they weren't the same. Now Ray Lewis is now leaving that team. Some of the players that look like they were going to be special may not be as good with the Ravens. That's why I even think the dude that went to Miami is going to be a bum.
Ellerbe
is going to be a bum.
Yeah, but, you know, also you're forgetting this team also has Terrell Suggs and Haloti Ngata.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. We'll get to see Terrell Suggs even become a better, more impactful player than he was last season, coming, you know, a full year off of that Achilles injury. So, yeah, I think Terrell Suggs will definitely be impactful for the Baltimore Ravens. But and I think the Ravens defense, like you said, will be a better team. Now, offensively, I'll put it this way. I don't think Flacco's going to have people to save him anymore. He won't have Anquan Boldin to save him when he's throwing that
pass. Yeah, so he doesn't have a safety blanket, but, you know, Jim Caldwell is a very good offensive coordinator, so he'll find ways to scheme it up to, you know, put Ray Rice out there to be the safety valve for Joe Flacco. And, you know,
that's the star of the offense, man.
Yeah, he is. Ray Rice, that's the
star of the offense, bro.
And it'll be interesting to see how Torrey Smith pans out without – you know, Anquan Boldin and with more coverage rolled over top towards him.
Anyway, I think we did enough Ravens talk. We come back from the break. We're going to skip off to college football. There's a lot of things going on in college football. Johnny Manziel. Who else? Johnny Manziel?
James Winston.
Oh, James Winston. Yes, yeah, James Winston. And the big Michigan-Notre Dame game. This is really a rivalry. That's just a dumbass. That was a dumbass statement by Mr. Kelly. Anyways, the Urban Sports Team on the Eyes Radio Network. You dig?
Deuces.
Dude, what's going on today?
I don't know, man. It's the fever. I'm recovering from the fever, man. I'm getting a brain fart, man.
Time out! Okay, guys, Summers really had his bell rung and could have a concussion. I'm pulling him out for the game. Rodriguez, you're in for Summers.
Come on, coach. It's just a ding. I'll shake it off.
Yeah, he's tough. Plus, we need to win this to make the playoffs.
Listen, we're a team and we need to look out for each other. Concussions are serious. No game is more important than your health.
Take concussions out of play. If you're a coach, know the warning signs and never let athletes return to play before a healthcare professional says it's okay. A message from CDC.
Take the clothes off my back and I'd let you. You'd steal the food right out my mouth and I'd watch you eat it. I still don't know why.
We're back from commercial break. Now we're going to get into college football. This past Monday, Jameis Winston played against Pittsburgh for Florida State, and he kind of made his announcement that I am here.
Yeah, sure
I is. Am a very strong Heisman candidate, only despite only being a redshirt freshman.
It's interesting. I watched him play. I watched the first half, and I was impressed because he was doing the spread stuff, but it wasn't more gimmicky spread stuff. He was actually going down the field, making a lot of impressive throws. Do I think, like a lot of people are saying, like, yeah, he's in the Heisman race. I think that's Teddy Bridgewater right now. Teddy Bridgewater looks real impressive. The 5-touchdown game you had.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
But this just, when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater, have you seen that schedule?
It's a cupcake schedule.
But that's the thing I think that's going to hold him back from being a serious Heisman candidate.
But the ACC to me isn't that strong anyway, other than Clemson.
Yeah, but, you know,
he's
at least...
He's going to get Florida, too.
Yeah, he's going to get Florida, but at least he'll have an opportunity to go against a top-10 team like a Clemson.
Well, I mean...
And see how he pans out. Teddy Bridgewater won't get it.
But I'll say this much. Being a freshman quarterback, I just see him having games where he's going to actually struggle a little bit. And I think Teddy Bridgewater, because of the, like you said, the lackluster schedule, he's going to put up impressive numbers consistently. I think that's going to kind of sway voters' mind because the potential numbers he's going to get to have, and also being, quote unquote, if you look at the NFL draft, like pre-draft stuff, Teddy Bridgewater, I think is rated the highest quarterback.
Yeah,
in any mock draft anyway. So if you add all that together, I think Teddy Bridgewater. If we're between the quarterbacks, not because everybody's talking about Clowney messed up between the quarterbacks. He's number one for a Heisman to me, just because of the cupcake schedule and the numbers he's going to produce, and also add into that, he's the top quarterback prospect.
Well, I'll say this: if he, because of the cupcake schedule, he has to go out and throw at least 3 touchdowns every game with a completion percentage.
You're talking Bridgewater?
Yeah,
I think he will.
With a completion percentage of close to 70%.
I think he will. But back to Winston. He was very impressive, and to be honest with you, I didn't think it's possible. You lose a guy who's the first pick overall, the first quarterback picked in the NFL draft in the first round, and you probably got better at the quarterback position. I think that's kind of it. That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That's interesting.
But yeah. Before we talk about last year's Heisman, let's stay on this freshman right here. Do you think because of the flack that Johnny Manziel gotten after winning the Heisman as a freshman, that can kind of negatively affect Winston's opportunity to win the Heisman?
That's an interesting question.
I know, that's why I asked it.
A very good, very good question. No, I don't think so. I think Winston, to me, in my opinion, because I didn't catch up to Johnny Manziel honestly, after the Bama game, and that's when he got his fame. I didn't know of him. But from what I've heard and read, he's always been, like, this a-hole. He's always been his a-hole. This kid seems very grounded, though.
Yeah, he said he's the anti-man.
Yeah, he is. He seems really grounded. If we're going off consistency.
Yeah, but do you think just because, you know, the
they may not want to give it to a Heisman. They might not
Because the Heisman is kind of it's an institution for college, and you know a lot of the voters are older.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll kind of hold it? They'll say, okay, we don't want to give it to another freshman because we saw what Johnny Manziel did with it.
I think it'll play a part a little bit. I won't say that it won't matter. It will play a part, but I think this kid, once the season goes on. And we continue to hear about him. And, I mean, hear him talk when he's doing these pressers and how he conducts himself on the field. I think that'll get erased. I mean, I think now, right now, people are saying, like, whoa, we can't give it to a freshman just because we see how this one's acting in Johnny Manziel. But I think once the season, we get to the midpoint of the season, and he's still acting the same way. He's you know, even in these interviews, he's still answering questions the same way. He's not doing anything ignorant. I think, yeah, if he plays in a high level, he can get the Heisman. I think people will forget about what they, you know, how they, I mean, made Johnny Manziel the Heisman.
I think the biggest favor A&M did for Manziel last year was they didn't allow him to talk to the media. Mm-hmm. They didn't allow him to open his mouth. They didn't allow people to have the access to him that they have to him now.
Yeah,
once he opened his mouth, once some of his exploits became well known in the public eye, ruined him.
Yeah, look at him. I mean, really, he's it's funny because no one really talks about him the way they need to talk about him. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, I like Michael Beasley, right? So I'm a Michael Beasley fan. But at the same time, you know, he was, from what he's been doing, you knew he was a ticking time bomb in a way that he could end his own career in the NBA. Right, and that's where he's at right now. I'm not saying it's over, but he's there. And
right,
he's right there.
He's on the precipice. He's
present of doing it. Manziel's on the same thing. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's wealthy. His folks are wealthy, so he's not like he's poor.
And you said the exact reason why people aren't giving him the exact amount of scrutiny that a Michael Beasley would have.
Exactly,
it's a class thing.
It's a class thing. I totally agree.
You know, the reality is in our society, if you have the monetary backing, or if you come from affluence, certain things are kind of looked over.
Yeah.
Whereas if you come from the other end of the spectrum, it's kind of a snowball effect. It's all piling on, you know, well, that's who he is, that's what he's about, because that's what he comes from.
Yeah.
When a guy who comes from an affluent background is, oh, well, he's just being a kid, he's being a 19-year-old, he's being young, he'll get over it.
Yeah, exactly. He'll grow out of it. Yeah, because when you look at it, and to me, to be honest with you, that's what kind of makes this situation more tragic. I think that, like, it makes no sense to me. You have money, all right? You have money. Why are you signing off autographs and when you know the rule? Like, you're smart, and he's a smart kid. He's not dumb. He's a smart kid. He is. Manziel's a smart kid. He knows what he's doing, you know. And to me, he's like a spoiled brat. And you know, people who you know, spoiled brats. They get what they want. The coach doesn't baby. The coach babies him. His parents probably baby him too. And he's taking advantage of the situation. You know, I mean, come on now. You just got in trouble for autograph signing. I don't care about this guy. I've heard that he's always just the money thing. He's always the money thing. But you're riding. You're doing the autograph gesture to the opposing team. I mean, I'm speaking of the Rice game. That's stupid. Like, that shows to me that you have a lack of respect of the punishment that you got. Obviously,
we're not going to even get into the punishment.
Yeah, but the so-called punishment you got, and then, like, you going basically bump your coach when you walk by him. Like, what's that all about? What's that all about? Seriously.
All I can say is I'm kind of disappointed in some of his actions. You know, you know, kind of playing devil's advocate, you know, being in his shoes and all the scrutiny he's getting and, who knows what the players from Rice were saying to him, but at the same time, if you're a leader that he says that he is of this team, and, you know, as the quarterback of any team, football team, you are a leader, you have to be able to keep your cool and composure under that pressure, and also know that you aren't just playing for yourself. You know, in all likelihood, you'll be playing on Sundays.
Yeah.
But there are probably seniors on that team who will never play another down of football again, and this is their last opportunity to win a national championship and to soak up some of the limelight. So you got to be able to control your emotions and your actions for not only you, your coach, and the representative, the university you represent, but your teammates also.
Well said, Will. Well said. I don't feel like talking about Johnny Manziel anymore.
Let's talk about your favorite college football team.
Exactly.
Big Blue.
University of Michigan.
They're playing
of the Fab Five.
They're playing Notre Dame on Saturday. This is the last game they'll probably play in the big house for a while between these two. How do you feel?
You know what, man? I grew up watching Michigan. I grew up watching, like, Notre Dame has been a team that I've actually seen as a rival to me because it's a game that's usually on national TV. Back then it was on Channel 4, and that was WRC, NBC. They carry Notre Dame games, and I got to see that game every year. Now these games are on ESPN, but still back then it was on Channel 4, NBC. And, you know, games where I got to see the Rocket Ishmael, return against the Michigan Wolverines for a touchdown. I got to see Desmond Howard, one of my all-time favorite players, give it back to Notre Dame as well. That series is something special to me. You got to see Reggie Brooks, Jerome Bettis from Notre Dame against teams like Tyrone Wheatley from Michigan Bianca Batuka,
Charles Woodson.
So I mean, these
Jerome Bettis.
Yeah, they already mentioned Jerome Bettis.
Oh, okay.
See, look, we good though. We good. Yeah. That's okay. We getting there though, son.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we getting there. Even Denard Robinson's game winning drive not too long ago. So this rivalry has been special to me. This game is going to be even more special to me because this game, I like the direction of my Michigan Wolverines. Obviously the Notre Dame has lost a lot. They lost Teo. They lost the quarterback from last season, the starting quarterback who transferred to leave early.
I can't come to my mind.
But anyway, they lost him. But they got Reese, who to me was a better passer anyway. So it's going to be an interesting game. I think it's a game for Michigan, for Gardner to show out in this game and put himself almost on the Heisman watch as well. He had a good first game, put himself on the Heisman watch. If you beat Notre Dame on national TV in a big house, last game you're probably going to play in a big house against Notre Dame, like you mentioned, for a while, it puts you on a national level, and it's an opportunity for him to put himself into a possible Heisman talk. So it's a big game for me. I'm excited because I got to get to see us run a pro offense, and you know I did have some negativity with my man Denard Robinson, because Denard Robinson, though I did like him as a runner, he just lacked the qualities as a passer. So I'm for it.
That's what's up, man. So winner of this game, do you think they cracked the top 10?
I don't think they cracked the top 10. I think maybe they move as far. Well, Michigan, I think Michigan is, were they 17th, I think, or 14th? I think Michigan will probably, I think the winner will probably get to like 11th. Now, if the winning team blows out the opposition, say, I'm a Michigan fan, obviously, I'm hoping for a blowout. If we blow out Notre Dame, I think we cracked the top 10. A blowout, yes, we cracked the top 10. I could see that. If not, then no, I don't think so. I think they'll probably be as far as 11.
All right, but I'm going to ask you to be a little bit unbiased. I know you're a Michigan fan, but I'm going to ask you to be a little bit unbiased and pick a winner for this game.
Yeah, this is why I'm going to pick Michigan.
Okay.
I think right now we have the quarterback we need in place to win this game. And if it was Denard Robinson, I would say, yeah, Notre Dame has an opportunity to win this game. We have a guy who's a dual threat. He can run the ball and he can pass. Against Notre Dame, what they did against us is they dared Denard Robinson to beat us with the pass. They dared Denard Robinson to beat them with the pass. They don't have that option now with Gardner. So Gardner can throw the ball. He's a good passer. So they don't have that, and then Gardner can run as well. And also it's the big house. And from what Kelly said about Michigan not being a rivalry has fired up the Wolverines, and it's in the big house. So that's the only reason why I think Michigan will have more fire in this game due to the fact that Kelly pretty much said, okay, you guys are just a high-ranked team. You ain't our rivals for real. You know what I mean? And Michigan's looking like, all right, really? Really? We're not your rivals? You come to our house, you're going to say, you're not our rivals? And then you going to cower out and take us off your calendar every year? Oh, yeah. This is our game. You know what I mean? So I think Michigan has the edge, the competitive edge, the fire edge, and I honestly think they're more talented right now.
Great reasons for picking your team, Michigan,
exactly,
to win.
So
Big Blue.
What about you?
I'm gonna side with you. I think Big Blue wins this game. For the simple reason that I think that Gardner, they finally have a quarterback, who can run the type of offense that they want, which is a pro style offense.
Great hope, yeah.
He can get outside of the pocket, make plays in the pocket with his arm. So I'm excited to see that game Saturday. I'm also excited to see Georgia versus South Carolina, which is going to be a huge game. Also.
Oh, yeah, it's a big game. I want to see that. Clowney needs to redeem himself.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, I don't knock him. I mean, I think people put too much pressure on Clowney. It's hard to get sacks on a regular, man. People act like it's easy to get sacks easily. Like, he's getting chipped. He's going to get double teamed. I definitely want to see what Clowney's going to do. I'm a fan of Clowney. Still think he, you know, obviously what he did to my did to the Wolverines running back.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Vicious.
So special.
Did you? But did you see that the kid from Western Kentucky that hit that he put?
No,
on?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I saw it on ESPN. That was the hit was just as brutal.
It really was. Was it?
Yeah, it was just as brutal. But that's another show, another week, another show. Show 155 for us. Want to thank you all for listening. If you stay tuned for listening to us, we appreciate your support. Before I forget, one more shout out to. One of our listeners who's actually, you know, replies to a lot of our Facebook posts, Keith Stover,
yeah.
This Saturday,
yeah.
You know, renewing his vows with his lovely wife.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you, man. Unfortunately, I won't be able to be there because I have I'm participating in a race, but many blessings to you and your wife, and congratulations.
Yeah, I'll try to be there, Keith. If I can't, it's going to be because of a particular situation, but I'm going to try my best to be there. I won't lie to you. We'll try my best and definitely be there. Congratulations to you, and I appreciate you always listening to the show, man. You've done a lot for us in terms of your feedback. I think you helped populate more comments, too, on our Facebook page, so we appreciate that. Big ups to you, Keith.
All right, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Like I said, it's Urban Sports on the Eyes Radio Network. Make sure you can keep tuning in. We will get better. We're already good. We'll get better, though.
Yeah, we just coming off a two-week vacation.
So deal with us.
Yeah, so deal with us. We'll definitely be back.
Hopefully.
Yeah, Tuesday. Next Tuesday.
We should.
We should be back.
Yeah, so. We have to talk about Mayweather.
Yeah, we got a huge fight that's coming up next week.
Mayweather-Canelo.
Next Saturday.
Don't get any bigger. I'm a freeload off somebody to watch the fight. You don't get any bigger than that.
You're a wild dude.
I freeload William Black.
All right, man. Yeah, thanks again, and we'll see y'all next week.
All right, see ya.
Peace. Sayonara, bitches!
Real day, you slippin'.